Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.
It's February 2nd, and we are in Parsha Shlach. We're on page 812, Pasuk Chaf Beis, verse 22. V'chis yishku v'lo sa'asu eis kol ha-mitzvos so'ela ha'ela. And if you will, it says here, error. Means you'll do an avera b'shogeg, which means it'll be negligence, not on purpose. And you will not perform all of these mitzvos. Asher diber Hashem el Moshe, that Hashem spoke to Moshe. So these next two paragraphs are going to be talking specifically about the avera of avodah zarah, avera of idolatry. We've already had back in Parshas Vayikra the karbanos that are brought for averos that are done bishogeg, that are done with negligence, not on purpose. We had karbanos for an individual. We had karbanos for the beis din that makes the mistake, etc. And here we have two cases, a case where the Sanhedrin makes a mistake and a case where an individual makes a mistake, both involving avodah zarah. And that's why it says, all the mitzvos, he'll do all of these mitzvos. All of the mitzvos, as we see in this next pasuk, Eis kol asher tziva Hashem aleichem biyad Moshe, all that Hashem commanded you in the hands of Moshe, min hayom asher tziva Hashem v'hala l'doroseichem, from the time that Hashem commanded them, and on, for all generations. The emphasis on the fact that Hashem commanded them is that the mitzvah, or the prohibition against avodah zarah, was given to us directly by Hashem, because the first two of the Aseret HaDibros were given directly by Hashem to us, and one of them is lo yeh lecha, that you're not allowed to worship other gods, to have other gods. So this is, again, this is a reference to avodah zarah, and Chazal tell us that a person who serves avodah zarah, it is like they have violated the entire Torah, which makes sense, because if a person does not believe in Hashem and instead believes in some false belief system, so no matter what they do, it's tainted. Everything they do is not for the right reason. Everything they do is for the wrong purpose. So even though a person may technically keep the mitzvos, but they're not keeping them for Hashem, so that ruins everything that they do. So avodah zarah undermines the entire Torah for that person. Pasuk Chavdal, verse 24. V'haya im meinei ha'edanes salish gaga, and if from the eyes of the congregation it is done with negligence, so a mistake is made, and it is the eyes of the congregation. Anytime you see that phrase, it is referring to the Sanhedrin. Sanhedrin are the eyes of the nation. So the Sanhedrin makes a mistake. V'asu chal ha'eda, and the entire congregation should do par ben bakar echad li'ola, one bull as an ola, as a burnt offering, a reach nicholach laHashem, as a pleasant smell for Hashem, umin chasov v'niskel kamishpat, and its meal offering and its libations according to its proper rules, usiri zimachad lechatas, and one ram, I'm sorry, not a ram, one goat for a chatas, so for a sin offering. So that's what they offer. They offer a bull as an ola, and they offer a goat as a chatas. V'chiper ha-kohen ha-kol adas b'nei Yisrael, and the Kohen will atone for all of the Jewish people, v'nislach lahem, and they will be forgiven, ki shigagahi, for it is only a negligence, it was a mistake. V'heim heviu as karbanon, and they have brought their karbon, ishel Hashem, a fire offering to Hashem, v'chatasam, and their sin offering, lifnei Hashem al shigagasam, before Hashem, for their shogeg, for their negligence. And now we have a very, very famous pasuk. We quote this pasuk on Yom Kippur several times, starting with Kol Nidrei, v'nislach l'chol adas b'nei Yisrael, and it will be forgiven for all of the congregation of the Jewish people, v'la'ger ha'gar b'salcham, and for the convert who sojourns among them, ki l'chol ha'am b'shgagav, for the entire nation was a shogeg, was negligent. They say unintentionally over here. It means unintentional, but negligent. So by offering these karbanos, they atone for their sin. Now, if you hold the place over here and turn back to Parshas Vayikra, let's take a look at what happens with other sins when the Sanhedrin makes a mistake. The similar to over here, but here it's only about Avodah Zarah, and earlier in Parshas Vayikra, we had about other sins as well. So if you turn back to page 558, top of the page, Pasuk Yigamal, verse 13. This is the Par Helam Davar. This is the bull that is offered for the Sanhedrin that made a mistake. It says, "Vim kol adas Yisrael yishku," if all of the congregation of the Jewish people shall be negligent, shall sin unintentionally, "Vin elam davar meinei akohol," and something was hidden, was forgotten by the eyes of the congregation. There you see the same phrase, the eyes. That's referring to the Sanhedrin. And they will do, the Jews will do, will go against one of the mitzvahs of Hashem, that they weren't supposed to do, and they have sinned. Now here it doesn't say they transgressed all the mitzvahs, only one of the mitzvahs, because in our parasha, Parasha Shlach, we're talking about Avodah Zarah, so that therefore it says all the mitzvahs. Here it's one of the mitzvahs, any of the mitzvahs that they transgress. It's not every single one, but several of the mitzvahs fall into this category. So, as we had when we learned it back in Parashas Vayikra, so this is called the Par Helam Davar. The formula of the Par Helam Davar is that the Sanhedrin rules incorrectly about a mitzvah that is, that if it would be done on purpose, so it would be a kares. The punishment would be kares for doing it on purpose. They rule incorrectly about it. In other words, they say it is permitted to do something when in reality it is prohibited, and if someone would do it on purpose, it would be a kares. So the Sanhedrin made a mistake, and they ruled that a particular type of kares would be permissible. So, for example, let's say they would rule that it's permissible to eat meat that was not slaughtered properly. That is a kares. And if they would rule that it would be okay to do it, and Jews went and did it, so then the Sanhedrin would have to bring a par helam davar, a bull. And then it goes through the system over here of this special bull that is brought. And that's the discussion over here in Parshas Vayikra. So here, with Avodah Zarah, in Parsha Shlach, it's the same thing. They rule that a particular type of Avodah Zarah is permissible. They say it's okay to do whatever it is that is Avodah Zarah. Avodah Zarah involves various types of prohibitions. One is not allowed to serve any Avodah Zarah in four different ways. One is not allowed to slaughter an animal for an Avodah Zarah. One is not allowed to burn something for the Avodah Zarah. One is not allowed to pour libations for an Avodah Zarah, and one is not allowed to bow to an Avodah Zarah. That's universal for all Avodah Zarahs. And then, on top of that, one cannot do the particular service of that specific Avodah Zarah. Each one has its own special way of serving it, and you're not allowed to do that particular thing. So the Gemara speaks about the Avodah Zarah called Markulis. The way they worship Markulis is they throw stones at it. So if someone throws a stone at Markulis, that would be worshipping the Avodah Zarah, and that would be a prohibition of kares that one would not be allowed to do. So if the Sanhedrin rules that it is permissible, for example, to throw a stone at Markulis, or to bow down to, whatever, the holy cabbage, so if someone would, if they would rule that, and the Jews would do it, then they would have to offer the same bull that they offer here, but in addition to the bull, they have to also bring a goat for a chatas. So that's an additional thing that they do because it is Avodah Zarah. It makes sense that the atonement would be more, would require more, because Avodah Zarah is worse than everything else. It's the worst Aver a person can do. So it makes sense that the atonement would therefore commensurately require more, a second carbon. So that's the formula that we have. Now we are going to turn back to Parshas Vayikra again when we get to the next paragraph, but for now let's go back to where we are on page 814. So they offer these two carbonos, this par, this bull, which is an ola, it's a burnt offering, and they also offer a goat as a chatas. Now, there are many cases in the Torah where either a person or a group are required to bring an ola, burnt offering, and a chatas, and a sin offering. That's a normal thing. It happens frequently in the Torah. However, every other place in the Torah where we find that combination, an ola, burnt offering, and a chatas, and a sin offering, the chatas is offered first, then the ola. First the chatas, then the ola. And in fact, Chazal say that there is a mashal for this. It's a parable. It would be similar to a person who did something wrong against the flesh and blood king. So first they have to beg forgiveness, then they can offer a gift. To bring a gift before asking forgiveness is not recognizing that one sinned. And that's like ignoring this sin. That's not a nice thing. That's not the way to do things. First one asks forgiveness, then one brings a gift. And that's, therefore, first one brings the carbon chatas, the sin offering, which is the forgiveness, and then one brings the ola, the burnt offering, which is the gift. Here it's the reverse. Here the ola is offered first, and then the chatas. The Kli Yakar, in explaining this, says that we find that the achatas, a sin offering, is the typical carbon brought for averos that one does. So one ate nevela, one ate meat that was not slaughtered properly by accident, but they were negligent, they ate it. So they offer a sin offering. They offer achatas. Achatas atones for inappropriate actions. And ola atones for inappropriate intentions. The ola is not a sin offering, but it does have some degree of atonement. It does achieve a certain degree of atonement, and it is primarily for inappropriate intentions that a person may have. What goes on up here? So where the chatas is for what one does, the ola is for what happens up here. So normally, as we said, if one sins and they have to offer both karbanos, the chatas comes first, that's the atonement, then the ola, which forgives, which is a gift. But in this case, with Avodah Zarah, the Avodah Zarah, although it involves an action, as we mentioned, bowing, slaughtering, burning, whatever it is that a person does, but the main problem with Avodah Zarah is actually up here. If someone eats something they're not supposed to eat, the main problem is the action, that they took the non-kosher food, put it in their mouth, chewed it up, and swallowed it. That's the main problem. Not what they were thinking, but what they were doing. Whereas with Avodah Zarah, the main problem is thinking that this entity is God, or a God. That's the main problem. Of course, it comes along with an action, but the main problem is the thought. And therefore, in this case, that which atones for thought has to be offered first, which is the ola, which is the burnt offering, and then the chatas, then the sin offering. Avodah Zarah has the distinction among all types of sins. We know that with Jews, Hashem rewards a positive thought. If a person intends to do a mitzvah, a person decides, the person makes up their mind, I want to do a particular mitzvah. So I'm going to go, I know that there's a person who needs a particular chesed to be done, and I'm going to perform that chesed. I'm going to go, and I know that they need some food from the store. I'm going to go to the store for them, buy the food and bring it to their house, because I know that they need it. And then for whatever reason, something happens and it prevents me from doing it. I come out and I'm unable to get to the store for whatever reason. The street is blocked off. I can't get out of my driveway. Whatever it is. So I can't make it. Can't do it. So Hashem rewards for the thought, for the intention. Because a person intended to do it, they get reward for it. But with averos, with sins, as long as the avera is not something that a person does habitually, if it's something that a person it's an unusual thing for a person to do, a person thought to themselves, I really want to speak this particular Lashon Hara. And I'm going to call my friend and tell them about this Lashon Hara. I want to tell them about what somebody else did. And then I can't find my phone. So I'm unable to make the call. So as long as a person is not a habitual offender with Lashon Hara, Hashem does not count the intention against them. That intention does not count as an avera, even though the same thing with a mitzvah would count as a mitzvah, but not for the avera, unless a person does it habitually. But if a person does not do it habitually, it does not count as an avera. That's true for all averos, except for avodah zarah. Avodah zarah is so bad, and it is the thought that's the worst part of it, that if a person intends to worship avodah zarah, even if they are prevented from doing so, they are punished for having served avodah zarah, as if they actually did it. Similar to if a person intends to do a mitzvah, they're prevented from doing it. But the only avera that applies to for Jews is avodah zarah, because of how bad it is, and that's why the ola here precedes the chatas, because the ola is for what one thinks, what one intends, as opposed to the chatas, which is for what one does.
So what the thing that made their avodah zarah unintentional, that made it a shkaga, is because the Sanhedrin judged inappropriately?
Yeah, they didn't know. People didn't realize that it was wrong.
So I thought there was a premise that our obligation is to our chachamim, our Sanhedrin, etc. And if we follow our Sanhedrin, then we're not culpable.
Yeah, that's why this is being brought by the Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin brings this carbon. Just like they do with the parhel.
It's not the people.
No. This is the Sanhedrin represents the people. It's the people's money that's going to him. The Sanhedrin.
That person doesn't have to do it.
No. The individual person does not have to bring a carbon. This is the Sanhedrin offering because they made a mistake in their ruling. Right.
Did it ever happen?
I don't know if it ever happened. That's a good question. I don't know if it ever happened. Now the case I gave is very simplistic. That. Clearly people, but it would have to be, there are a lot of nuances that could happen in theory, that they didn't understand that a particular thing was actually avodah zarah, they thought it wasn't, or there was a debate whether a particular rule applies or doesn't apply. These things can happen. But I don't know if it ever happened or not.
There's a prohibition about kneeling on stone.
Right.
And that's relating to avodah zarah.
Yeah, but it is a separate avera.
Let's say there's an entrance that this stone
That's not avodah zarah. If there's no avodah zarah there that they're bowing down to, that's not avodah zarah. It is related to avodah zarah, but it's not avodah zarah.
But is it prohibited?
Yeah, but it's not this. This would be actually offering something to an avodah zarah, bowing to an avodah zarah, that kind of thing.
And it's just like we don't have, as long as there's no Sanhedrin, this is not.
Yeah, there's no Sanhedrin. Either, right, well, any carbonus we can't do because there's no Sanhedrin. But right, this is the Sanhedrin's responsibility because they ruled incorrectly. Right. Now, all of that is true for the Sanhedrin. But the next paragraph is for the individual who sins with avodah zarah. Before we do that, I want to point out two things about this paragraph. First of all, in the word, at the end of Pasuk Chaf Dalet, verse 24, you have the word, the last word is lichatas, for a sin offering. It's missing an aleph. Normally, chatas is spelled ches tes aleph saf. This one is missing the aleph. If by way of example, if you look two lines down, it says vichatasam, there it has the aleph. So the aleph is missing over here. Various explanations given for it. One of the explanations is because the Aleph, which is one, represents Hashem, who is Echad, he is one. And here this person tried to assess power to another God, as if there's more than one. And so that is the representation of the avoda, of the avera of avoda zara. And as we pointed out, pasuk chavav verse 26, the last pasuk in this paragraph, as we mentioned, is a famous pasuk, and it is said on Yom Kippur, particularly at Kol Nidre. It seems to me that the reason why we invoke this particular pasuk is because, since we are talking here about the worst avera, which is avodah zarah, and even in the context of the worst avera, if we follow the parameters of the Torah to achieve atonement, the pasuk says, "V'nislach l'chol adas b'nei Yisrael," that there will be forgiveness for all the Jewish people and for the ger. For everybody did it bishkaga, it was all unintentional. So we quote this pasuk because the pasuk is saying that even for the worst averos, there can be forgiveness. Certainly for the lesser averos, there can be forgiveness. So going into Yom Kippur, we want to invoke the pasuk that tells us that we can be forgiven for everything, no matter how bad a person was or did, whatever it is, there's always room for forgiveness. We should not give up hope for forgiveness.
But is it here? It's only talking about
unintentional. Yeah, well, it says kilachol. No carbon is offered for, except for one particular case. Carbonos are not offered for purposeful sins.
Right, but when we're saying it, and
it's true that we were saying it because we want to get forgiveness. But we're also saying to Hashem that on a certain level. What's that?
It's our intention that we shouldn't be doing.
Right. Right. We don't want to be doing it. And at a certain level, we're almost like victims of the Yetzirah. At a certain level, certainly when we're standing there at Kol Nidre, we want to be perfect. We don't want to do anything wrong. So we use this pasuk as our example. Okay. But now the next paragraph is for avodah zarah done by an individual. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam
she'hakol nira. Amen.
So the pasuk says, "V'nefesh achas techetav v'shkaga." If one soul shall sin with negligence, but unintentionally, and again, this is talking about avodah zara. So, what should this person do? V'hikriva, that soul should offer eiz bas shnasa lechatas, a goat that is a year old, or within its first year, for a chatas, for a sin offering. That's it. One animal, a goat, and it is a sin offering.
I notice here it says a she-goat, and up above it said a he-goat.
That's right. There was a he-goat, this is a she-goat. That's correct. That we find that the carbon for the Sanhedrin is male, and for the individual is female. That's true back in Parshas Vayikra as well, as we'll see in a moment. V'chipera kohen ala nefesh ha-shogeges, and the kohen will atone for the soul that has sinned, sinned unintentionally, b'chet'a v'yishkaga lifnei Hashem, by sinning unintentionally but with negligence before Hashem, l'chapera lov, to atone for him, v'nislach lo, and he will achieve forgiveness. Ha'ezrach b'vnei Yisrael, the citizen of the Jewish people, that means someone who was born Jewish, Vila gera garbis socham, and for the convert who lives among them, Torah achas yelachem, there'll be one law for you, lo seb bishkaga, for one who does this bishkaga unintentionally but negligently. The reason why the convert is singled out is because, as you would expect, the convert is the one who is most at risk for avodah zarah, because that's what he was doing before he converted. He was worshiping avodah zarah. So today we don't have the same type of draw, as we've mentioned many times before, that the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah removed the desire for avodah zarah. So we don't have rampant avodah zarah, certainly not in this country. There, as we've mentioned before, there is a discussion about whether Christianity counts as avodah zarah or not, but we certainly don't have people bowing down to inanimate objects on a regular basis. In the Far East, it's more common. But therefore the typical ger, the typical convert that we come in contact with is not someone who spent their earlier years bowing down to inanimate objects and offering sacrifices to inanimate objects. That's unlikely or uncommon today. But when there was in the world a strong draw to worship inanimate objects, to worship the Avodah Zarah, then almost every convert would be coming from a place where they had worshipped Avodah Zarah. That's what they were doing prior to becoming Jewish. And therefore, they are the ones who are most at risk for slipping back into that practice. And therefore, the Torah has to highlight the fact that this regimen of atonement applies not only to the person born Jewish, but it will apply to the convert as well. It is one law. There's no difference. It's not like the convert has to offer extra karbanos. It's not like the convert has no way of atoning. No, the convert is no different than anybody else. It is the same regimen for atonement for worshiping Avodah Zarah.
What in this pasuk tells you that it's Avodah Zarah?
I'm sorry?
What in this pasuk?
This, you don't see it here. It's because of the previous paragraph and because of what we're going to see at the end of this paragraph.
And what's an example of a person, like, because you said Avodah Zarah is in your mind. So how can that be a shogeg? What's an example of a person?
A person might think that it is permissible to offer a sacrifice to an Avodah Zarah. A person could think that it's okay.
But he isn't doing it.
No, a person could do it.
No, but then that's not a shogeg.
Why not?
Because he's doing he knows he's doing Avodah Zarah.
That is shogeg. Shogeg is to do something that you think, let's say a shogeg on Shabbos. There are two types of shogeg on Shabbos. One is a person forgets that today is Shabbos. I think today is Sunday, so I cook. Or a person forgets that it's prohibited to cook. They know it's Shabbos. I think it's okay to cook. So I cook. Those are two types of shogeg.
He doesn't think this thing, bowing down to this thing is a bizarre.
Right. That's, they're in a social setting where the people are bowing down and they think, all right, I know, you know, all right, it's not such a big deal. I can bow down, you know. Everybody else is doing it, I'll just do it, you know. They don't realize that it's Avodah Zarah. Can't do it.
What if it saved a life, like in the Hellenist time?
Well, remember that Avodah Zarah is one of those things you have to give up your life for.
Oh, right.
So you can't do it even for that.
Blew right? That one.
Yeah. Now, yeah, okay. Maybe we'll address that point in a minute, but let's first get this straight. So again, the offering is a goat. It's a she-goat, but it's a goat. Now let's hold the place here, and let's see what is the offering for other sins. This is Avodah Zarah, but this is going to be a little bit different than the individual who sins in other ways. So here, we turn to page 560. Pasuk Chav Zayin, verse 27. V'im nefesh achas techet tav yishkaga, if one soul shall sin unintentionally, me'am ha'aretz, from the people, from the nation of the land, that's us, ba'asosa achas mi'mitzvos Hashem, when this soul does one of the mitzvos of Hashem, ashalo se'asena, that they're not supposed to do, v'ashem, and they have become sinful. So this is to do any sin, not avodah zarah, any other sin in the Torah, a person does it unintentionally. It applies to those that would normally be akares. Let's say a person transgresses Shabbos unintentionally. Ohodai lov chata sar shachata, or he realizes the sin that he did wrong. So what should he do? Vehivi karbono, he should bring his karbon. Si'iras izim, this is a she-goat, same thing as we have with Avodah Zarah. Timima, that has no blemish. Nekeva, female, al-chataso, al-shachata, for the sin that they have sinned. Okay, so that sounds like the exact same thing as we have with Avodah Zarah. However, here we have a twist. If you skip ahead to the next paragraph, plus the Glamed Beis, verse 32, you actually have a choice. Vim keves yavi karbon al-chatas, if he chooses to bring as his sin offering a sheep, then it needs to be an unblemished female sheep. So with other averos of the Torah, a person has a choice. Either a female goat or a female sheep. Whereas for Avodah Zarah, there is no choice. It has to be a female goat, not a female sheep. That's the difference between an individual sinning with other sins of the Torah and in the sin of Avodah Zarah. For other sins, one is a choice, a female sheep or a female goat. For Avodah Zarah, one is required to bring a female goat. One does not have the option to offer a female sheep. Of course, that leads to the obvious question, what is this? What's the difference? Why in one case is there a choice, the other case is no choice? What anyway is the difference between offering a sheep or a goat? They're all just basically animals. What's the difference whether it's a sheep or a goat? What's that?
One is bigger.
One is a little bit bigger. That's true. One is a little bit bigger. But they're both relatively small animals. A cow is a huge animal. That's called the behemah gasa, big animal. These two animals are called behemah daka. They're smaller animals. And although you're right, the one is a little bit bigger than the other, still, they're relatively small animals. So, what's the difference? Shamshon Rafal Hirsch, in his commentary to Chumash, he explains as follows. We already mentioned, we've referenced it now in Parshas Vayikra, we've referenced the atonement, the karbanos that are brought when the Sanhedrin makes a mistake, and when an individual makes a mistake. There are a few other cases mentioned in Parshas Vayikra. There's the case of the Kohen Gadol making a mistake. Then there's the case of the king making a mistake. These all have different processes for achieving atonement. When the king makes a mistake, there in Parshas Vayikra it says he has to offer a goat. A goat is the karban that the king offers. The Sanhedrin offered a bull. The Kohen Gadol offers a bull. But the king offers a goat. So, I can't tell you, there is a reason, I just don't know the reason why a goat is associated with the king, but the goat is associated with the king. So therefore, if Hirsch says that when one is ready to offer a sin offering for what they did wrong, so they have a choice of offering a goat or a sheep. A sheep is more common. There are more sheep around than there are goats. And the sheep is considered to be a submissive animal. And therefore, the sheep represents the rank and file. Most of us, we are represented by the sheep. Whereas the goat represents the king. And therefore, says Rav Hirsch, if a person sins and they want to offer a sin offering like they should, so it is their choice whether they offer a sheep or a goat. But generally speaking, he says, the sheep will represent most people. The goat will represent those who are of the leadership of the people. Even if they're not the king, so you have a governor. You have a leader, someone who's in a leadership position that sins, says Rav Hirsch, they might want to consider offering a goat rather than a sheep to be more like a king because they are in a position of leadership. And the goat is associated with the position of leadership. A person might prefer to offer something which is one of the crowd, which would be the sheep. That's the way he lines those two things up. So again, without getting into why each animal represents each thing, which, you know, there is an explanation for it. I don't have it. I don't know it. But here, when it comes to Avodah Zarah, we're not given a choice. A person must offer the goat and not the sheep. Now, you might have said, that seems counterintuitive. If they did the Avera that is the worst Avera one can do, then perhaps the carbon that they bring should not be one that represents leadership. After all, this person would apparently not deserve to be a leader because they just did the worst Avera one can do. Maybe they need to be a follower rather than a leader for a little while to learn how to behave better. So why does the Torah make it a requirement then in this case, it must be a goat rather than a sheep. And it seems to me that the message is diametrically opposed to what I just said. That the Torah's point is, as the Gemara says, Kol Yisrael b'nei malachim him. The Mishnah says, all Jews are considered princes. We're all b'nei malachim. We're all considered princes. We're all considered princes and princesses. We are all considered to be leaders. We're all considered to be, that have the capacity of leadership. We are supposed to be those that lead the world. That's what we're supposed to do. The world is supposed to reach its fulfillment and its fruition through us, by following us and by seeing our example. We are supposed to lead. A person, a Jew, who has stumbled and performed the worst avera one can do, that Jew, more than any other Jew, needs to get that message that you are a leader and you need to behave like a leader. And don't allow yourself to slip up and to slip into the behaviors of the rest of the world. The rest of the world worships Avodah Zarah. We do not. We don't follow the rest of the world. We are the ones that should be the ones who are followed. We're not the ones who should be following. And don't slip up. Don't join them. Rather, set the example for them. Be like a king. Be like a leader. Don't be someone who slips into the Avodah Zarah of the rest of the world. It seems to me that might be the message over here, why it must be a goat and not a sheep. But the Torah continues now, still on page 814, back to where we were. Pasuk Lamed, verse 30. Until now we have had unintentional, although negligent, sins. What about if it's on purpose? V'hanefesh asher ta'aseh biyad ramah. If someone shall do this with a raised hand, that means like in a brazen way, and worships Avodah Zarah. Min ha'ezrach u'min ha'ger, whether they're a citizen, a born Jew, or whether they are a convert. Es Hashem hu megadef. That person is being, I'll use the Hebrew word, being megadef Hashem. So they translate it as, that person has blasphemed Hashem. That soul gets kares, that soul is cut off from its nation because they willfully did Avodah Zarah. Kidvar Hashem baza, for the word of Hashem he has degraded, they say scorned, okay. Ves mitzvah so hefar, and that person has broken his commandments. He kares, tikares, hanefesh ahi, that soul shall be cut off, avonava, its soul is within it. So the punishment for willful avodah zarah is kares, is to be cut off. Now we have in other places in the Torah that the punishment for avodah zarah is skila, is stoning, is capital punishment. But as we know, capital punishment is only administered when there are witnesses, and there is warning. If a person was either not warned or there were no witnesses, then of course they cannot be put to death. But there's still punishment. That punishment is between the person and Hashem. And the nature of that punishment, says the Torah here, is kares, which should not be surprising, because again, we're dealing with the worst avodah zarah, the worst avera. And it makes sense that the punishment would be kares, would be to be cut off from the Jewish people. And that's what happens in this scenario where a person did Avodah Zarah on purpose. The language of Es Hashem Hu Megadef, that this person is blaspheming Hashem. So here, Chazal tell us that the Torah is actually invoking another Avera, and that is the Avera of the blasphemer, which means to curse Hashem. That if a person, God forbid, curses Hashem, then they have the same punishment as one who worships Avodah Zarah. In other words, the Avodah Zarah is to actively go to something that has no power and treat it as if it has power, that it has the power of Hashem. That's what Avodah Zarah is. Blasphemy, megadef, is to overtly reject Hashem, to curse Hashem. either one, you see they're in the same general family, that those two sins, either one, it's the same punishment that they would get kares, they would get cut off, and if it was done on purpose, then the punishment would be skila, would be to be stoned for that, for these averos. As we mentioned, if there are witnesses and if there are and if there's warning, then the person is put to death. If there's no witnesses and no warning, then it is between the person and Hashem, and the punishment is kares. But the advantage one has in that situation is that because the person is not put to death, it's between them and Hashem, they can do tshuva. They can return to Hashem, beg forgiveness, and get atonement, and they can be forgiven. Unfortunately, the full measure of forgiveness may not be achievable until they die. In other words, their death itself might be necessary to achieve a full measure of atonement. Still, even a person who has done avodah zarah can and should do tshuva, and Hashem does accept the tshuva even from a person who did this on purpose, that they worshipped avodah zarah, or even to blaspheme against Hashem, that they would still have the ability to do tshuva, and they should do tshuva. That there is a discussion of whether Christianity is avodah zarah or not. And I'll just review that briefly now, because it's relevant to these sins, that avodah zarah is to believe and to worship something that does not have power as if it has power. To say that this thing, it has independent power, the sun, the moon, an inanimate object, whatever it is that they have, to treat them like a god. The difficulty with Christianity is called shituf. Shituf means to, what's that?
Shituf.
Lishtatef, right. Shutfus. So it means a partnership. Right. So the problem is because they believe in a trinity, which means there's more than one god. And so that is also a form of avodah zarah, because it is suggesting that Hashem is not one, which he is. And that is a form of avodah zarah. And therefore, there is a discussion. It's for sure prohibited. The question is whether it enters the realm of avodah zarah or not. So those who say that it does, they say so because of the shituf, because of the fact that there's more than one God, and that it would have all the rules stated over here. If it does not, so then to find real avodah zarah today, you'd have to have the religions of the Far East, which would be the real avodah zarah.
This is one of the seven mitzvahs of Noach, so they're really not allowed.
Yeah, no one's allowed to. Everybody's prohibited from doing it. But the question is it actual avodah zarah to the extent of what we're talking about over here?
But you said the Far East, but isn't Islam...
So Islam officially believes in one God.
Yeah.
Right.
Like
so,
the Buddhists and...
So Islam may not be avodah zarah at all. But it doesn't matter what you call the one God. As long as you believe there's one God and that God has no physical form, so it doesn't matter what name you give that God, it's not avodah zarah. So Islam, at least according to its official doctrine, does not seem to be avodah zarah. Now, it's hard to know what each individual person believes, and people can believe anything, so that's hard to know, but the official doctrine does not seem to be avodah zarah, which is an advantage to not actually be worshipping avodah zarah. But as we mentioned, shituf, this idea of more than one, is definitely prohibited, one way or another, for Jew and for non-Jew. Is that prohibited? The only question is whether it actually enters the realm of avodah zarah, of like we're mentioning over here. I remember what I wanted to say. I don't remember how you asked the question, but I remember what I wanted to say about it. So we've talked here tonight about shogeg, which is unintentional but nevertheless negligent sin of Avodah Zarah, and we talked about willful sin. But if one is an ones, that one was forced into worshiping Avodah Zarah, they would not bring a carbon, they would not be in any of this category because it would be an ones. What would be a case of an ones? A case of an ones would be that a non-Jew holds a gun to a Jew's head and says, bow down to this Avodah Zarah. And the Jew does so. Now that case is a case where a person is supposed to give up their life.
Aye.
They're supposed to give up their life. This person made the wrong choice. They didn't give up their life. It's a hard thing to do to give up one's life. So they didn't give up their life. And instead they bow down like they were being told to do. Even though, and this is difficult to wrap your mind around it, even though they didn't do what they were supposed to do, that is not called Avodah Zarah, neither willful nor shogeg. That's called ones. After all, they were forced into it. Even though they were supposed to give up their life, it's still called being forced into it. And therefore, no carbon would be offered, no atonement would be necessary for worshipping Avodah Zarah. The only atonement that would be necessary would be for not giving up one's life when they're supposed to give up one's life. But they are not considered to be someone who worships Avodah Zarah, neither willfully nor with negligence.
Didn't we learn once that it's only if there are other Jews around who would witness it?
Avodah Zarah is one has to give up their life even with no Jews around.
Oh, so just the one person.
Yeah, what we learned was that other mitzvahs of the Torah, other than the three, that we have to give our lives for all mitzvahs if it is in front of 10 Jews, or if it is being done with the express purpose of getting us to go against the Torah. So then we have to give up our life for everything. Yeah.
Is that one of Tariyah?
What?
They have to give you life up for that?
Is that called one of Tariyag mitzvahs, or is that just a detail within Tariyag? I don't know. I know, it's Kiddush Hashem. It's one of Tariyag, yes. That is Kiddush Hashem. It's the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem.
That person has to give their life up for those.
For these three, and for all mitzvahs if it is in public, or for all mitzvahs if it is being done with the purpose of getting us to do an Avera. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so this completes the discussion of Avodah Zarah. And it is here in Parsha Shlach. It is not in Parsha Vayikra where you would have expected it to be. And one can give different explanations for it, but I would like to say a similar thing to what we said before, which is here we have the Jewish people who have done this terrible sin of the Meraglim, of the spies. They're now going to wander for the next 38 years until the end of 40 years in the wilderness. And they can easily feel that they should be written off. They're done. They've done this terrible thing, and that's it. There's no hope for them. It could be the Torah places these halachas of Avodah Zarah here to say that even for the worst Avera, which is Avodah Zarah, there still can be atonement, and therefore, even though the Jews did this terrible sin of the spies, there can still be atonement. There's still room to come back. One should not write themselves off, even though a person has done a terrible thing. As long as a person is alive, they can still atone. I'd rather not start the next paragraph. I'm going to just give you a little bit of an introduction. We're going to have here the story of the Mekoshesh, of the individual who was Mechalel Shabbos, who transgressed Shabbos willfully and was eventually put to death for having done so. That's going to be the next story here in Parshas Shlach. And so that will be the discussion next time. It is followed by the last paragraph from Parshas Shlach, which is the mitzvah of tzitzis. That is all over here coming up in Parshas Shlach. I'll only mention to you that the progression of Avodah Zarah, Shabbos, and tzitzis leads the Gemara to say that just as Avodah Zarah is like, one who transgresses Avodah Zarah is like transgressing the entire Torah, one who keeps Shabbos is like keeping the entire Torah, and one who performs the mitzvah of tzitzis is also like they perform the entire Torah. We'll have to explain why that is so we get to listen.
Thank you. Why is Nebuchadnezzar considered a chaloshim?
It is a chaloshim.
I know, but chaloshim doesn't have no atonement for.
Even chaloshim has atonement. If a person does tshuva, it just may take death to achieve the full kapara. One needs misa to do the chaper completely.
So conversos, it's not biblical times, and it was not intentional.
Right. So conversos, there you have again. I don't want to get into individual cases. Who knows what went on for each individual person? But the general idea of conversos are people who were forced into it. They made the wrong choice. Because they worshipped Avodah Zarah when they should not have. They should have given up their lives. Who am I to judge them, right? Who wants to, God forbid anybody should be in that situation. But the official rule is one has to give up their life rather than perform Avodah Zarah. But it's still, since they were forced into it, they would not be in the category of having done Avodah Zarah either willfully or even unintentionally because they did not do it of their own volition. They were forced into it.
But many did undercover.
Yes. Yeah. The problem is that what they did in public would have been in the categories of Avodah Zarah. That's the problem.
What about in the case of
the Muslims? The Muslims is less of an issue because because Islam is not necessarily Avodah Zarah.
Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.